Peace and Black Power family. Welcome to the Black Power radio/podcast show, episode one. This is your boy, Brother Gaddafi. I'm pro-black activist, as well as an upcoming member of the new Black Panther Party. And thank you for tuning in. So just a little, just to give you guys a little information of what to look forward to in these episodes, is talking about different problems that goes on in the black community, not only just in my city, but, you know, if I hear something around the nation that's concerning, you know, black children or children in general, predominating, you know, y'all know the word I'm looking for. Predominantly, there we go. Predominantly pertaining to the African American community. But if there's something that needs to be addressed, I will address it. We'll have people tuning in, or people guest starring, you know, on being featured on my show. You know, pretty soon I would like to host little debates. You know, I'm a married man to a lovely queen, and if she has anything pertaining to, you know, women or natural hair, I'm pretty sure, you know, she's been doing some studying and stuff like that when it comes to certain stuff. So I'm pretty sure she can bring to the table some good facts for you sisters out there, you young queens, for, you know, yourself, or you know, if you got any daughters, or even for your brothers that got daughters, or heck, even for your brothers that got long hair. But so that's just part. This is the introduction part of this episode, introducing me, you know, and I'll feature some guests on here. Don't quote me on when I'll be doing different episodes. I kind of just going with the flow until I have a set schedule, you know. But you can pretty much guarantee that when I do post an episode, it'll be around the nighttime, evening time, you know, if you Eastern Standard Time, you know. I'm Eastern Standard Time, so if you're on the West Coast, it'll be 4 hours. Less than where I'm at now. So what time is it right now? It is 9:01. All right. Now, funny story, I actually came up with a couple episodes, two episodes to be exact. And I deleted them thinking that I had no sound, but I did. I just had it plugged in. Yeah, it was a smack myself moment for me, but I'm kind of glad I did, because I didn't really properly prepare myself for the topics that I talked about. Well, one, I didn't need no preparation, but the second one I talked about needed a little bit of preparation, you know, a little bit more reading and studying, just so I won't keep coming back to my notes. But whatever, it is what it is. So for this topic, I just want to really talk about issues in the black community and how we can protect our young kings and queens, as well as our women out there. Now, we live in a generation now where, you know, women work, kids, and with women, and both, when both the man and the woman work, you know, sometimes, depending on what time they work, you know, kids have to sometimes take themselves to school, whether it be getting on the bus, walking to school, depending on how far the school is, and trusting that your student, your child makes it home safe. Now, and as far as women working, you know, these women, grown women, from teenagers to grown women, getting snatched up, you know, and it makes it kind of hard, because they'll do anything. There's these things go all over the internet of how people, you know, use what they use to get you, to lure you into their car. Not even lure you in the car, but to distract you and then get snatched up. You know, car might run out of gas. You go to the gas station. You might have somebody say they might need directions. And boom, you never know, you know. One woman compared to a strong man or two men, you know. And as far as these young children out here, There's over 65,000 kids missing around the world. Maybe not even just around the world, probably around the country. I mean, around the United States. So you can imagine, that's just the ones that we know about. So my thing is the issues in the black community and what can we do to protect them children and our women out here. And for those, you know, I do believe that the black woman is God. We can argue about that, and I can explain to you why. And as far as our children, you know, they are our future. So if we don't care about them today, we ain't gonna have them tomorrow. So the issue that, and I wish I had like a little call center, but it is what it is. I just got on the air here. So what can we do to protect our children and our women? And actually, I got my lovely wife right here. So, you know, before I let her get on, I know I kind of put her on the spot there, but yeah. But hey, you know, my show is her show. But as far as children, now, my kids go to a school near where I live. Does that mean I'm gonna let them walk? Hell no. And the reason why I say that is you honestly can't trust nobody. Even though it's a short distance from where we live to the school, a lot of stuff can happen. And you know, when you with your kid, when the kids are with friends, right? You gotta take into consideration that those kids that your kid is with are also children. So if something bad happens, they get scared. Okay, they don't know what's going on. So if they see something that goes on, the kids can't outmuscle a grown man, a grown anybody at that. So you have to be careful. And I know there are some parents out there that honestly cannot help the situation. So I want to know some, you know, if you guys listen to this episode, I want you guys to really, reply of what would you do in your community to help keep these children safe and going to and from school, and how are we going to keep these women straight or safe? And my suggestion is for the men that be around, you know, keeping an eye out in different neighborhoods. You know, you see these rich white neighborhoods. Yeah, I said it. I have these neighborhood watches. You know, a lot of people look, if you in the inner city of where I live, if you was a neighborhood watch, you was considered a snitch. You know, and yeah, snitching does have problems, but what's worse, your life or a child's life? See, personally, I don't care. I would put my life on the line for a child, because that's my children being affected too. Now, I would rather have my life in jeopardy than my children or other people's children, because they need a shot at life too to make something. You know, you hear too many of these young kids, not even, and when I mean young kids, I mean like 15, 16 to even 17. I'm not an old guy myself, but I'm older. And, you know, a lot of these programs, I mean, a lot of these kids who really don't have a home to go to result in the street. You know what I'm saying? A lot of ones who play sports try to stick to sports and keep a level head. And the ones that really ain't come from nothing. So what they do, they go find something to look forward to. They go find their family. So my suggestion to helping communities, not only keeping kids safe, but, you know, developing a neighborhood watch. You know what I'm saying? The men in our community, step up. Let's, you know what I'm saying, keep an eye on where we live. If something don't look right, instead of looking the other way, we say something, we address it, we speak up about it. You know, because you hear so many stories about kids getting hurt, beat up, robbed, whatever. And you see the people that's around the community just looking in fear and horror. Instead of saying something, instead of saying, hey, you know what I'm saying, draw the attention, once you draw the attention, or you force the attention on the suspect, they have no choice but to drop it, drop whatever they're doing and run. People getting snatched up in broad daylight because people are way too scared to say something. The prime example, and this is something that I encountered last night. Now, on my way home from work, you know, I live in Grand Rapids. And for those who live in Grand Rapids know that there's a street. There's a long street called 44th Street. It goes a long way. Now, between the intersection of 44th and Division, that gets real busy. And now, I work second shift. Now, when I get out, I got out a little after 11 o'clock. So when I got out, it was dark. Going down 44th Street, I see this little girl. I got a daughter that's 7 years old. This little girl had to be around my daughter's age, between 5 and 7. You know, she looked like she was all 6 or 7, my daughter's age. And when I seen her, something didn't look right. You know, she was way too close to the street at that point. She looked lost. And at first, there was a house near the corner where she was standing, so I thought that maybe that might have been her house. So what I did was I parked my car and I kind of looked. And now when I got out the car and got a little closer, this little girl was standing in the middle of the street. Luckily cars were slowing down and they seen this, but that was the problem. There was a dozen cars behind me and every one of them sped past. They didn't even care. They looked the other way. They didn't bother to see if this little girl was hurt, was lost, all that kind of stuff. They looked and said, it's not my problem. To make matters worse, there was this car I pulled up, and a white man, was calling the little girl to the car and was trying to reach her hand, saying, get in the car. Luckily, I was there, and I yelled, and the car sped off. So obviously, that told me that person was up to no good. I reached my hand out for the little girl, asked her, you know, come here, sweetie. I'm not going to hurt you. Where do you live? Now, the little girl had autism, but she knew where her home was. Now, her family was looking for her, but I was so pissed off that night at the fact that the possibility this little girl could have got snatched up and nobody took the initiative to park their car. Who knows how long that little girl had been standing there before I even drove by. And luckily, I was one of those people to stand, because that was a little black girl, had autism. Probably, I don't know what was going through her mind. She was probably scared, lost, whatever. I mean, she was lost, but she was probably scared too, because she didn't know where she was at. She had autism, but she didn't know. She doesn't know what's going on. She doesn't know the possibility of her getting snatched up. She's a child. So little girl runs down the street, and I start seeing her family with, you know, the cell phone lights flashing. That was looking for her, calling her name. I yell from the top of my lungs, like, hey, I got a little girl. The two brothers came and grabbed her, and the parents came, and I let them have it. I cussed them out. Was I wrong for cussing them out? It depends on who you are. Depends on what you think. Maybe I could have handled the situation differently. But you got to understand, as a parent, as a father, your main priority to your children is to provide and protect. Now, this is a little girl, and we live in a time now where so many of these sickos revealing themselves like it ain't nothing. They pride themselves in being sick. They pride themselves in being pedophiles. They pride themselves for being, there's so many different variations of sexualities out there where you can, there's a sexuality to be attracted to a dog. They're making it to where you could be attracted to a minor and making it legal. That just comes to show how sick this nation is. But as a father, you having a child, a daughter, a little girl, and the possibility of, it still works me up. And I've calmed down from it, but I cussed them out, not out of frustration towards them, but out of fear for that little baby. Because they don't understand. And I told them they don't understand how close that little girl was to getting snatched up, and they would have never saw her again. And luckily, me, somebody who as easily, like the other people, could have drove by and looked the other way like it was none of my business, did. I was like, nah. Because had it would have been my child out there that had that kind of disability, I would want somebody to bring my child home safe, to let be known that there's still some sense of humanity in this god-awful world, for real. It's not a game out here, man. And that's the problem with this community, because everybody is looking the other way instead of addressing the fact of when these little kids are getting snatched up, they need to look, why wasn't this kid in school? Why wasn't, you know what I'm saying? Addressing things right then and there, not waiting until matters get worse. Kids are dying from being bullied and stuff like that, and people and staff and everybody looking the other way because they're scared. Since when does it make sense to be scared of a child and you're grown? I understand, like, the legal system has it to where now kids get control, but at the same time, and the reason why I say kids get control, because you can't even discipline your child the way that you want to discipline them without somebody calling CPS. And the funny thing about CPS is they come on two occasions. One, when it's too late, or two, when it's inconvenient. When you call CPS, when you're trying to prevent prevent a life being threatened or harmed, they'll say, I don't see anything. But then they'll wait until the child is dead to want to do something. But then all they can say is, I'm sorry for your loss. You hear so many cases about that. So many of CPS claim that they're doing their job, but honestly, they're not giving a damn about it, especially a black child. But I'm not gonna put my wife on the spot like that. Not on this one. Not on this subject. I'm not gonna put her on the spot like that. But as a member in this community, as a civilian in this community, I'm not gonna sit there and be quiet for anything. I'm not, because anybody who knows me will know I can't stand when a child gets hurt. I cannot stand when a child gets hurt, or a possibility of a child getting hurt, or neglected, abused, whatever, mentally, emotionally, psychologically, whatever the case may be. I can't stand when a child gets hurt. And I wanted to say, if my wife saw how fired up I was, she probably would have tried to walk me to my car, because I was fired up. I was fired up, ready to throw blows with anybody for that little girl. And that little girl wasn't even mine. That little girl was not even mine. I didn't even know that little girl at all. From the neighborhood she was in, I did not know her at all. But all I seen, when I seen that little girl, I think of one of my kids. I got three kids. And just the fact of them, I got a youngest son who's 4. And they don't know. Anybody could knock on the door. And he's tall enough to reach the door. And he can open the door. He can unlock the door and open the door. See, in his mind, he's just opening the door. So he hears a knock. He might go to the door thinking that it's somebody he knows, because he doesn't know that what lies on the other door could potentially be dangerous or danger, not only for himself, but, you know, for the other members in the house. So if he opens the door, if any of the kids open the door, not knowing, you know, what the danger lies on the other side of that door, and if I'm not there. So I got to instill in my kids about the dangers of strangers. Not to just talk to anybody. Not to just open the door. When somebody knocks on the door, you tell me or your parents. You know, tell your parents or whoever. Tell a grown person somebody's at the door and let them go get the door. and if it's walking, you know, whether you be at the park or something like that, and you know, and you see somebody, and these predators are getting bolder, they'll snatch your kid up right there while you're not looking, and you could be standing within arm's length of your child, and as minute as you turn your back, I mean, just gone like that. And they do it when usually the mother is, if it's just the mother and the child present. They don't, them predators dare don't do it while the father is there. Because, yeah, you know. And that just shows the I didn't read this book, but this is, I'm kind of get off a topic here, but I just need to make this point here. Because I brought up the fact that these predators who for the most part are men or male, and how they won't do anything when another man is present, and it brought me to the point of this book that this actor Dondre Whitfield he wrote called Male Versus Man, and he talked about. Every man is a male, but not every male is a man. And I was like, that's clever, because it's a subtle difference between a male and a man. A male is a simple XY chromosome. A man is a characteristic that you have to earn. And there's so many of these young boys out here that's growing up fatherless because they don't know how to, they grow up not knowing how to be a man. And you see a lot of single mothers raise some great men, boys who turn out to be great men. But as great of a mother, as great as these single mothers are, they cannot teach young boys to be men because it's something that they're not. And the male versus man, saying goes to where a grown male would do the dumbest thing to gain to have capital gain, to gain respect, quote unquote respect, you know, power. They don't look at it. They don't look at the consequences or the outcome that they had the outcome of their actions or what their actions has affected not only some the victim's life but the family of that victim's life. Prime example, Nipsey Hussle. Now, to let you guys know, I've heard of Nipsey Hussle but never really listened to his music like that. And honestly, I didn't even pay too much mind when he passed about Nipsey Hussle, but once everybody started talking about him, I was like, you know what? Everybody tends to be putting a big emphasis on this Nipsey Hussle cat. Let me look him up. And after reading on him, and I realized he was an intelligent, woke, conscious brother. Now, does that mean that I posted a picture of him on my Instagram saying, rest in peace? Heck no, that's fake. And that's clout chasing. But in his death, that guy, Eric Holder, whatever his name was, committed a crime, took this man's life over a simple beef that could have been avoided, or they could have easily just fought it out if they had it that bad and then walked their separate ways. You know, him taking that man's life, a man who has done wonders for that community, was a big act of grown maleness, because he's looking at it like, yeah, I did it. I killed Nipsey Hussle, thinking that he's going to get respect. Obviously, from the looks of it, that's the opposite of what happened. But, hey, if you was a man about the situation, and if y'all had problems really that bad, you know, obviously y'all could have avoided each other if tensions between y'all was that bad, or if it was like that, do it the old school way. Be somewhere, fight it out, win, lose, or draw. Y'all walk away, and y'all either shake hands and walk and part y'all ways, or if y'all feel like y'all need to fight again, y'all fight, y'all duke it out one more time, and get it all out your system, and then that's it. Call it good. Ain't no sense of that arguing. Ain't no sense of arguing, leaving, coming back to shoot somebody. That's cowardly. So, and that's another issue in this black community too. Too many of us are not only killing each other, but we're killing ourselves. Killing ourselves in a sense of, when I say killing each other, obviously I mean that in a literal sense, and not even just, maybe I take that back, not even in a literal sense of just taking a gun or a weapon into somebody's life. You can kill somebody simply by, you know, saying this, by verbally, honestly. For example, you tell a child that they ain't something long enough, eventually they're gonna believe it. You tell a child who has a dream or has a goal to want to be a dancer or a singer. Now, if they honestly cannot sing, then, you know, being honest, but, you know, encourage them to find another, you know, a talent, but to encourage them to keep digging until they find something that they're passionate about. Killing somebody verbally and on a spiritual level, not saying not biblically spiritual, but on a spirit, on an inner level, saying some discouraging your child, somebody who read and says, "Oh, you ain't gonna be nothing in life. You dumb. You sound dumb." Instead of working with that child, or working with somebody, not even just a child, or somebody who's grown. You know, grown people have low self-esteem. So you kill somebody by killing their self-esteem, killing their vibe, you know what I'm saying? Allowing you to get into their head thinking that they really aren't nothing. So what happens? They don't pursue nothing. They don't have ambition. They don't have goals. And they're stuck in the same spot as somebody before them. And then you have that cycle of that community is not going anywhere. So you're killing your community by putting your negativity onto them. And that's killing each other. We're killing ourselves. So what I mean, and so we're killing each other in that sense. Killing each and also too killing each other. Or my acts is distributing these different drugs to each other. You hear about these drugs called K2, these crack cocaine, this heroin. If I, you know, killing each other would be, if I take this crack or this K2 or these synthetic drugs or whatever the case, these weird crocodile drugs. We got so many different, these weird named drugs out here. Knowing that the possibility of you doing that, your side effects could potentially end your life. Here, man, you ain't, you know, this, that, this, and that. We killing each other by doing that. Encouraging, you know, drunk our homies and homets, you know, I said homies and homets, you know, anyway, encouraging our young brothers and our young sisters out here who leave parties drunk, you know, allowing their friends to say, to allow them to leave with these strange dudes, and yeah, I take her home. I make sure she get home safe, knowing dang well she ain't taking her home, because guess what? They didn't ask you where she lived. Or letting your best friend being passed out drunk and a poss and getting being vulnerable of getting taken advantage of. Or your homeboy who then took way too many shots and possibly overdosed on drugs, but you laughing because you think he's passed out, but he's really overdosing. So we gotta take that into consideration. Now, what I mean by we killing ourselves is economically and culturally, financially, you know what I'm saying, and physically. Because this kind of goes in the category of killing each other, but we're also killing ourselves from the bullying. We bully each other, thinking that our lives are better than that other person's lives, instead of helping each other or encouraging each other or telling each other that it's just materialistic things. Envy kills each other, kills ourselves, because guess what? I bully somebody across the street, or if I'm a kid bullying somebody across the street, see, these young kids are taking their lives, are younger and younger and younger. And that's in the literal sense. They're killing themselves. They're killing themselves off of Instagram, Facebook Live. Come on now. The whole world knows how you died. The whole world is putting, you got them trolls out there that like to put the hateful comments in there. Talking about, oh yeah, you did, y'all did do it, I dare you, all that kind of stuff. Egging this action on instead of discouraging them not to do this action. Killing ourselves by smoking cigarettes. You know what I'm saying? You hear about these actors or these rappers, these black rappers buying ounces and bags and bags and bags of weed, spending. You know what? I watched this video. If you guys go on YouTube, watching what's his name, DJ Small's Eyes. He interviews different rappers, artists, singers, and all that kind of stuff. Now, some of these rappers, you know, they come from, you know, Atlanta, Chicago, Florida, L.A., all that kind of stuff. And they asked, you know, what's their biggest spending habit? A lot of them say weed, and they say they'll spend like 10 grand on weed a month. There's 12 months in a year. You do the math. You know what I'm saying? 10 grand a month, that's $100,000 a year. So, on weed that they could smoke within that month. It's not like it carries over, depending on how much you smoke. If you want to smoke like 3 or 4 blunts a day, or like Snoop Dogg, they say he smoked 81 blunts a day, or lean, you know what I'm saying? Cough syrup, codeine, promethazine, mixing that stuff up, making you real dozy, and, you know, popping Molly's, Percocets, Xanax, all these drugs out here that's for that one high, and you don't even know who you land next to in that next morning, if you wake up that next morning. You know, worrying about spending hundreds of dollars on a pair of shoes. You know, you got Yeezys, you got Jordans, you got what's the one shoes called? The ones that ain't got no shoe laces over to be.
Oh, Balenciagas.
You know, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Louis. Spending $500 to $600 on Louis that could potentially get scuffed up, scratched up, ruined, stolen. You know, you got a hater out there that hates you enough, and that's hating on your style. All it takes is one bullet. If they want it bad enough, they would. Because they don't see somebody that looks good in name brand clothing. They see dollar signs, because they know that in your wallet or your messenger bag, them purses that your brothers be wearing, they know that in there is racks, because that's exactly what y'all be carrying out there. Y'all carrying racks. So, and y'all supporting, honestly, we're killing ourselves by supporting these white businesses that don't give a damn about us. They want us to buy our stuff, you know what I'm saying? You look at the dysfunction of the black community, or the black person, of black people in general. You know, you got these high billionaire, powerful black, quote unquote powerful black men that don't give a damn about that of his own kind. If anything, you know, Michael Jordan said that his Jordans are only for the white kids that live in the suburbs. They're not for the ones in the hood, even though the ones in the hood are the ones that's buying them the most. But they said they're not for him. He done left his black woman to go be with this white woman who is half his age. He's 60 years old, and she was my age. I'm 25, or 26. I'll be 27 this year. So, and we're spending hundreds of dollars on these clothes. It's only going to last, but we won't even pay $25 to pick up a book and read it. Know something about ourselves and where we come from. Becoming conscious in our, you know what I'm saying, in our community. Understanding that what we've been told is a lie. You know what I'm saying? Like, understanding that the government is only going to tell you so much. They'd much rather blind you and distract you from, they'd much rather distract you by throwing all these things in your face. Hey, don't buy this. Why don't you buy this instead? These new video games that come out. I'm going to tell you the truth. I got rid of the majority of my games. You know what I'm saying? Not because I don't like video games no more. It's because, honestly, I don't really play video games like that. You know what I'm saying? I tried to get into the whole testing different video games, but then I realized, I kind of just, you know, the realization that I was behind, like, either a year or 2 years behind that game. These games that came out years and years ago, and I'm just not getting caught up now. You know what I'm saying? I got up to date on one game, actually two games. But honestly, I'd much rather spend my time reading a book, writing a book. You know what I'm saying? Talking to people, developing websites, you know what I'm saying? Starting a black-owned business, working with black-owned businesses, talking to people, you know, getting information from black-owned businesses. Because at the end of the day, we all we got. And instead of complaining about each other, we should support each other and help each other and not down each other. Because, you know, the crackers up here in the government, in the White House, they don't give a damn about us. And that's the truth. They don't. They like the fact that we killing each other. So the problems in the black community is not just the white man. It's us. So that is one thing about the black community that what's destroying us. So next one that we have, and if you guys feel a certain way about your community, if you guys tune into this video, let me know, you know, what would you do in a community? And to be honest, I didn't really necessarily say what I would do. If I could, like I said, I would, acknowledge the community that I'm in, you know, the community that I'm from. You know, for one, you hear, you know, not shy away from my community. Know that, you know what I'm saying, like, not everybody has a chance to, and this is just speaking in a sense of, let's say I did make it out, you know what I'm saying? And I did come into some money, right? For one, you know, the community's changing, but I open up opportunities, you know, open up opportunities, community centers, you know. You know, these young brothers, especially sisters out here, you know, who, again, might not have a father figure themselves or a mother figure, who, you know, needs to learn how to be a woman. Community centers, there's intelligent women all around, you know, to help with, you know, community centers, with, you know, how to carry yourself as a woman, acknowledge yourself, teach yourself how to self-respect yourself, you know. Don't just settle. Don't downgrade yourself just to be in a relationship. Stand on your own two feet. Acknowledge the fact that you are a queen, a goddess, and you will not settle to be treated anything less. For the men, acknowledge the fact that you are a king. Open up, you know, community centers and let them know, like, how to be a gentleman. Respect your woman. Don't mistreat her. Respect women. Honor women. Honor yourself. Carry yourself as royalty, and you will treat others as royalty. And you know, understanding that there's nothing wrong with being black. There's honor, there's pride, you know, educating with books, you know, try to keep something out, you know, in the community centers, whether it be, you know, sports, football, basketball, soccer, whatever the case, boxing. I did a lot of martial arts sports, you know, if kids don't, you know what I'm saying, do something to keep them out of the streets, out of the gangs, you know. And as far as gangs, this is a stretch, but, like, you know, I mean, the gangs here aren't like how they are in the West Coast or the East Coast, you know what I'm saying? These gangs are weird down here, you know. But try to, you know, help protect, you know, get the men in the community to do something. Run, you know, for any kind of community event that we have, run security, you know. Make it to where, you know, hire night neighborhood watches or something like that, you know, in different areas to make sure that, you know, hey, look, around this certain time, it doesn't have to be at all times of the day. You know, Grand Rapids, especially in the inner city, a lot of the danger happens early in the morning or late at night. If we have security in that area late at night, you know, and that then, and especially in them hot areas, then that's cool. You know what I'm saying? As far as kids walking to school, I know a lot of kids take the city bus. At least have somebody, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, hey, look, kids, you see kids getting on this bus here, going to school. People being like at, you know, at bus stations and stuff like that, bus stops. You know, especially if they got to get up early in the morning to walk to the bus stations because, you know, you got some that have to take two buses and stuff like that just to get to school. You know, it sounds complicated, which it is, but it's not impossible. You know, there's, you know, if we got to, people are quick to talk about change, but you know what I'm saying? Like, they don't implement issue or implement, you know, suggestions to for those issues, you know what I mean? They don't indulge in the fact of how can I do this, how can I do that, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of people who don't really say too much of anything at all, but that's just me. So that's topic one. You want anything to add, babe? You got anything to add at all?
What was your topic?
It was just stuff about protecting the community.
Well, me personally.
Hold on, let me introduce you. All right, my wife is gonna, you know, Sister Nubia here. She gonna, you know, say a little something before I can jump to the next topic. But go ahead, take the floor, baby.
All right, my thing on it is, yeah, it sounds good for protection, but can you really trust the people that you haven't helped you protect the people? So, and that's including your own people.
Right. So basically saying, can you trust the people that you entrust to help protect that community?
Yes.
The straight up answer to that is no, you can't trust them. And that's the sad part about
it. That's the sad thing about it.
And yeah, that's a good question. That is a sad part about it. Is can you trust the people that you entrust to protect the community? And the truth and the answer is no, you cannot. You know. And it sucks that we in a generation to where you want to protect the community, but you can't trust everybody that you know what I'm saying, because you do got snakes out there. You do got people that try to that are what in the Bible is a wolves in sheep's clothing. You know what I'm saying? You know, and fact of the matter is no, you cannot trust it. And is there an easy answer to that? No, it's not. You know, I'm only human. I wish there was an easy answer to say, well, plan A doesn't work, so plan B is, because you don't know if plan B is going to work, and you have to jump to plan C. So, can you trust it? No. Is it worth the lives of the children? Hell no. You know what I'm saying? I personally don't know what I would do. I would try to find my best not to hire just any and everybody, and dang sure wouldn't allow them to, you know, at least, even for the ones I did trust, I wouldn't allow them to get within arm's length of a child. You know what I'm saying? There's no need for that. Unless you honestly see that a child's in danger. Like, kind of like what my approach yesterday. Did I hesitate? Was I hesitant of having that little girl come to me? Not in a sense of, because obviously I know I wouldn't harm a child. But in the situation that I was in, and let's say if I did grab the child, or somebody was like, hey, don't let go of that girl or whatever. Had that little girl been a white girl and me being black, you know, the media loves to take certain stuff or like to twist words. All they would have seen was black man axes young little white girl to take him to her house. Take him to her house. So many people would have been, I'm pretty sure so many cars would have stopped if that was a little white girl. Because it was a little black girl now. But see, at the time, I didn't think of what the outcome could have been for myself. I didn't think about what anybody else would have said. Because the only thing that was in my mind was getting that child home safe. So, and that's really all I got to say, you know. Subtle plans to protect, you know, making the community fun to be around. Don't always acknowledge the fact that it's dangerous. And, you know, And that's what I, you know what I'm saying? That's what I usually, sorry. Anyway. So, yeah, that's pretty much all that I got to say as far as, that's just the first topic. First topic is, you know, just how would I help the community, the issues in our Black community, how and what can we use to help our Black community? Now, I know I took a little pause there. You know, I got my kids around here, so, you know, they'll do something, they say something, you know, in my mind. We'll instantly focus on what y'all doing or what y'all saying or whatever. But, so my next topic, the next topic is, you know, religion. And how is religion is harming our community, harming our people to be, in, you know, what, you know, is it, what is religion and the problem with it and how it's affecting our community and affecting us as Black people. Now, I'm going to break something down. Now, I'm not going to go into full depth of certain stuff. I'm going to say that for my next video, but I'm going to shine a little bit of light on it. Now, I grew up Christian, or Baptist, you know, went to Mount Zion and all that kind of stuff. I wasn't raised in a very religious home. You know, my granny went to church every Sunday, went to choir rehearsal, you know, for different events. You know, my mom never really went to church like that. She did, but then, you know, she didn't. She stopped. My dad went to church here and there, you know what I'm saying? Didn't really, you know, didn't really say too much, didn't really go to church and then like that to us. So church really wasn't forced. Now, here's the thing about that. You know, growing up in a church, you know, you tend to ask questions. You tend to ask questions about, you know, why do we do the things that we do? You know, so as far as, excuse me. So, as far as, you know, religion, gotta adjust my microphone here. Just 1 second, y'all. Oop. Anyway, so, you know, growing up in the church, you know, growing up and going to church, you stuck with a lot of questions. You know what I'm saying? You got Easter. You got, you know, Christmas. Well, you know, for the longest, I grew up thinking about, you know, well, Jesus was born on Christmas and Jesus resurrected on Easter Sunday. Didn't really pay too much mind, you know. Easter Sunday, when you're young, all you really care about is, you know, eating food, probably go to church, not even paying attention to other service. And then on Christmas, you know what I'm saying, depending on what day it fell on, some people like to go to that service, that be on church, you know. They'll go in the morning, go home, open your presents and stuff like that. And then that's all you really care about is going home and open your presents, really. But, you know, religion, you get kind of stuck in the mindset of, you know, you go to a church and this church got these pictures of white Jesus. These, you know, pictures of white Jesus. A, why worshiping a white Jesus anyway? If the Bible says that he was white or he wasn't white, why are they painting pictures of white of him, you know, and white Jesus? Two, once you start reading books, you will notice that, we didn't come into Christianity. Our people, ancient Kemet, there was no Africa. There was no, you know, no Bible. You know what I'm saying? That was a European thing. And so you got to look at that sense of, if we didn't get taken from our homeland, what would we be doing then? You know, will we still follow the same you know, philosophy as our ancestors, and two, our philosophy that we celebrate now is the European philosophy, Greek philosophy, from our days to our months, to our planets, the names of our planets, you know what I'm saying? Sunday, you know what I'm saying? Do you research on Sunday, Saturday, all that kind of stuff, all from Greek philosophy, Greek, you know, Roman, ancient Roman civilization. And two, I mentioned Christmas, I mentioned Christmas, and a little research, and then a little thing about Christmas is known as a pagan holiday. Like I said, I'm not going to go too much in depth with it, but, you know, I'm going to shine a little bit of light on it, and that and a couple of other holidays too. But for Christmas, Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. Some people who might listen to this might know that. Some people who don't might not. And some people who do have a sense of not or hearing it, I will turn a deaf ear because they don't want to know it. So, and as far as Easter, I'm shining a little light. He didn't resurrect on Easter either. If that's what you believe, he did not resurrect on Easter. So that's one thing. Okay. So I shine a little light. And the fact of the problem with it is we hold on to something that we honestly do not know for certain of everything in that book is correct. Because you hear about scriptures that they take out, that they mention but don't say, you know what I'm saying? There's a scripture that talks about the adolescence of Jesus. Now, I call this the Dr. Seuss effect, you know what I'm saying? And the reason I call it Dr. Seuss is because as a kid, you do book reports. You gotta read a book, you read the whole book, you talk about that book, and you talk about the book, you do a report about the book, and what did you say, and what you talk about the book and make sure that it's accurate will depend on what kind of grade you get. Now, if we're supposed to be judged based off what's in that book, the Bible, and if they're taking scriptures out, why, and let's say Judgment Day does come, will we be held accountable for the stuff that's not in the book? You know what I'm saying? Or that's not in the scripture? So, you know, the reason I call it the Dr. Seuss effect is the fact of, you know, Dr. Seuss book is probably like what? Or a Harry Potter book would probably be what, 100 something pages. So let's say 120 pages. For average size Harry Potter book. Now your quiz then great gonna be graded off all those 120 something pages, 25 pages. But let's say there's 100 copies out there. And out of those 100 copies, 99 of them have 20 pages torn out of them. And the 100th one has all 125 pages. So, yeah, it has all 125 pages. The principal has it, or the teacher has it. Not, you know what I'm saying? So, you read the book, you read all 100 pages, not knowing that those 25 other pages have been torn out. You do a report on it, but you get a D. Why did you get a D? It's because you didn't get graded, because you were unaware that the book was missing 25 pages. But yet, the only person that had the original copy of the book was a teacher himself. But he graded you based off what he had and what he knew, not what was being presented to you. So when there's scriptures being taken out of the Bible, should we be held accountable for what's not in there? People putting of what you know what they want you to put in there and all that kind of stuff. So think about that. So why is it hurting our community? It's because why is it hurting us as a people? It's because of the fact of we are subjected to reading just one book without going outside of that source. Because if you go outside that source, all of a sudden you're considered boastful, prideful, because you're starting to gain knowledge. The Bible talks about that, being prideful and or being not boastful and stuff like that. When you come into knowledge and stuff like that, it kind of brings you down. You know, the more books you read, the more knowledge you become. You know, you gain. Apparently, that's a bad thing. And a lot of preachers and a lot of pastors and, you know, ministers will tell you, do not read anything outside the Bible. So that's one thing. A lot of people say, don't pay attention to that. Just read this Bible and stick to it. That's all you need to know. So, you know, once you do that, you know, it's kind of like, well, dang, like, for real. Like, how am I supposed to gain anything else? Because there's more books outside of that. A lot of Hebrew scholars like to read other books to know they know. So they know what else is out there. You know, how can they defend their book? If they're only subjected to one book, how can they possibly defend what they believe in? How can they defend their belief if they're only subjected to one book and that's it? You could study the language. You could read the concordance, understand the translation both in Hebrew and in Greek. And it's not going to solve anything unless you read other sources outside that, if you are a Hebrew scholar. Me, I'm not a Hebrew scholar. So I'm more into the Kemetic language, linguistics, kind of the Kemetic, ancient Kemetic philosophy. You know, I got books on, you know, Black civilization. I got like 5 books on ancient Kemet and Black issues pertaining to Black issues pertaining to Black people. And I got more books on the way because I got to educate myself. I'm doing something that I was never told to do. You know, because had I not would have kind of broke that chain of being marginalized in just a certain aspect of belief, I would have been stuck in the same boat, teaching my kids the same generation without really understanding. Because kids have questions; their minds are like sponges. They were like, you know, kids are like how I was when I was a kid, always asking questions. You know what I'm saying? And when I can't answer, when I couldn't get the answer, they say, well, look it up. Well, you know, at that time, I didn't have the luxury of being presented with the books that I have been presented with now. You know, me being an adult now, I have the, you know, finances and the opportunities to buy books, invest in the books, read them, jot notes down. We got the internet, you know what I'm saying? The internet's only going to tell you so much. But you can order books. You know what I mean? So it, you know, we're subjected as in a community. We succumb to this European way of thinking. Talking about the patrilineal way of thinking instead of the matrilineal way of thinking. You know what I'm saying? And the Bible. In the Bible, we celebrate, you know, in the Bible, it's more patrilineal. So patrilineal means they acknowledge the Father. No disrespect to fathers, but and our ancient ancestors, Kemet and ancient Kemet, ancient Egypt, it was more matrilineal. So the, you know, Pharaoh meant, I believe head house of the woman. That's what it meant. So, being in ancient, Kemet, you know, there was more acknowledging the woman because the woman, they believe, you know what I'm saying? They believe that the woman, I mean, is the source of life. She is the source of life. So they obviously gave the praise to the men out there were the protectors. So if the woman said, hey, go out there and something out there, as a man, we go out.